Hello and welcome to the Rapid Microbiology Podcast, and I'm your host, Paul Carton. Today's topic is on the development and manufacturing of lateral flow tests that are currently in widespread use around the world to rapidly detect SARS-CoV-2 in workplaces, airports, schools and at home. Joining me today is Andre Alfaro, who is Director of Assay Development at Nano Composics, a company that provides medical device manufacturers the know-how and materials to get their lateral flow test to market. Hi, Andre, and thank you for coming on today to share your rapid test expertise.
It's great to be here, Paul.
Can you tell me, Andre, what services do Nano Composics offer companies looking to develop a lateral flow test?
Yeah, it's a great question. So really how we like to position ourselves is full service and full spectrum. This goes from early concept design, say marker discovery, rapid prototyping, all the way to high throughput automated manufacturing. So we actually function as both a CRO and a CMO. And this is not something you kind of have to jump in at the start of any particular phase. Lots of companies come in at different points. You know, some people already have a target biomarker and some early prototyping on ELISA and want to transition that to something more commercially viable like lateral flow. Or they have a lateral flow test that they've had some issues with. Maybe it's sensitivity or kinetics, and we come in and help overcome those obstacles. And at the end of it, some companies are finished all of that. They've done the hard part, the heavy lifting. They finished development. They've frozen their design, and they're looking for a CMO to manufacture their test at scale at a reasonable cost. And this is where we come in with automation. Okay. And we can manufacture up to 25 million tests. So we can help you pretty much across the board, I like to think.
Okay, so you're offering some turnkey solutions, let's say, and some modular offerings as well. So have you actually had anyone come have a test on the market and then or develop a test that wasn't sensitive and then say, we need improvement on this? Is that something you've done before?
Absolutely. And this is for tests that are on the market and we're helping with Gen 2. That's something we definitely do. There's always a competitive space on whether you're in the agriculture side, the infectious disease side, the vet space, and across the board. There's always going to be a need to be more accurate, more sensitive, and that's what we can help with. So, and you hit it right on the head. There is, you know, turnkey solutions to something. So to expedite development, we leverage kind of our experience to develop platforms that kind of suit most people's needs. And then we tailor and customize those processes and tests to suit the specific requirements of individual tests. And we're scientists at our core. So we like novel solutions. We like creating something new, creating new IP for our customers and building something to overcome, you know, different obstacles. So, whether you want a fast turnkey solution or you want something new, novel, and custom, we can do both.
Okay, and it is becoming a competitive market, so customers are going to seek out those experts who are, you know, on cutting edge of development, really.
Absolutely. I mean, you almost have to have that edge. And if you could have something, some component, and maybe that's our, you know, novel gold nanoshells that we produce in-house, to give you that extra sensitivity, that's really what sets us apart.
And so in terms of SARS-CoV-2, and there's so many tests coming on the market, what can you offer companies wishing to develop their own lateral flow test for SARS-CoV-2 in particular?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question and really relevant to the world today. There are a lot of antigen tests out there, but, you know, there's not a lot of good antigen tests out there. What we bring to the table is experience developing new generation COVID antigen tests that are faster, more sensitive, more accurate. We've done I'm losing count of how many FDA submissions I've done now. We're about up to 6, I believe, with 3 approved tests that we've helped develop using our custom nanomaterials.
Very good.
And that's what we do. We bring experience. We bring in competitive advantage in terms of integrated solutions to not only the manufacturing development, but also the nanomaterial, to really provide customers far and away a better test than what was out there before.
Most of the attention is for antigen tests, but there is a lot of antibody tests out on the market. Do you have many customers coming looking for antibody test development?
Absolutely. And this is one that hits close to home. So I can go on a long diatribe on this one, how I love these tests. We actually developed one of the most sensitive serological tests for neutralizing antibody out there that we can use as a platform as like a it, for other people interested. And we do I've done this for other countries like Brazil and India. The US is tough. The FDA doesn't know what to do with an antigen test, or excuse me, an antibody test just yet. That information, all valuable to me. Like, I want to know what my antibody titers are. I just got my booster the other week. I loved seeing my immune response change, and I can see it in 5 minutes in my house, and it was great. I mean, I have a newborn, and I should admit it, but I mean, we were curious of seeing if, if those antibodies were transferring via breast milk to the baby. Hey, I have a test to do that. I think it has a ton of value internationally, outside the US. There are methods to get that to market. I mean, I think it's a test that people want for
Yeah,
regulatory
definitely.
purposes. It's really hard to do that in the US, though.
But they really haven't hit the market like antigen tests. But I think it they just haven't been marketed properly. Or I think a lot of people believe that the results you get from that aren't that accurate, considering there's different antibody tests for vaccine effectiveness, and there's also different tests for post-infection.
Right. And they do two different things. And then this is why, coming from the science side, I love having this conversation, because there's a rationale how you design these tests to make a conclusion on it. There's a difference between the Johnson and Johnson vaccine versus something like the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine, right? These RNA vaccines are specific to creating an antibody that blocks a specific protein, right? And that's what induces neutralization. And when you break the cell, the virus's ability to infect cells, our test tests just for that antibody specific to that protein, that RBD protein that blocks and virus coming in. Or you can have just a generic antibody test like Johnson and Johnson. So you'll see on our test, it can even tell you what vaccine you've had based on the results of the test.
There is some other contract manufacturers like yourself providing a similar service. Why would medical device companies come to you to develop and get your know-how and choose you over other similar services on the market?
Yeah, I like to think it's my charming personality,
No
but really
doubt.
it's the science and the capabilities. And I mean, this is why I'm at this company. And it's a lot of fun to work at a company that gives me all the solution and tools, and our customers those solution and tools. So not only, like I said, not only can we develop an assay, and we have a team that does that all day, every day, and that's my development teams. But not only can we do that, not only have we done that for a very long time, but we also have the manufacturing component. So I'm not transferring it to a CMO. I'm transferring it to the other building across the 30 feet from me, who does automated manufacturing at scale. So those handoffs are all built in. Those integrations are all built in to make this quicker and faster. And because we have that integration into manufacturing, unlike a lot of other CROs, we're not here. Our business model is predicated on moving customers through development quickly and into manufacturing. That's where we want to go. So I'm not here to elongate or go slow during development. I'm here to turn as many knobs as I can as quick as I can, but within our ISO 13485 quality system to move you into manufacturing. So we leverage our experience, we leverage our capabilities, we leverage the fact that we're also manufacture all the nanomaterials and antibodies here, or I shouldn't say antibodies here. That's our sister company, Bethel, who it is great to have, I should say, a antibody or custom antibody development and recombinant antibody developer on our team, which is awesome. So we have these integrations to get you from A to Z quicker than anyone else.
And you mentioned gold particles earlier on. This is an important part of a lateral flow test. Just tell me how important gold particles are in the ones you have for medical devices.
Yeah, I mean that's a great segue. And my background was in biochemistry, not inorganic chemistry like these guys in the other room. But our company, Nanocomposites, it really has three pillars: the CRO services, the CMO services, and the products side. And the product side have been making nanomaterial now for 20 years, and these guys are really good at what they do. And the innovation and the novel particles that come out of that side is fascinating to me. And talking about what sets that apart, we have the ability to customize nanoparticles, sizes, surfaces, geometries to meet customer needs and really create new and interesting particles for people. And now, because of that, though, we've organically created really sensitive and different nanoparticles for lateral flow. So we have the traditional 40 nanometer gold colloids. We have the traditional 80 nanometer gold colloids. But what other people have it, what we have and other people don't have, is gold nanoshells, which are just phenomenal for lateral flow. These things are designed specifically for lateral flow because of their optical properties. What we did, and if people know, there's an advantage to having larger particles. Visually, you can see larger things better, right?
Makes
They
sense.
absorb more light. But the problem is with flow and kinetics with something that big. It's like rolling a boulder down that strip. Once the gold colloids get too big, it just doesn't function very well. Now, what we did was, and it sounds so simple, but it was very complicated. Was what we did it was take we knew we wanted to reduce the density of those particles and have them flow a little better, but keep that size. So what we did was we took a silica core and then shelled that with gold. So because the optical properties, it doesn't mean the whole sphere has to be a solid gold colloid, but the shelling will give it that optical properties. And
It's
so these
just
gold nanoshells have the benefits of large gold, but the flow characteristics of small, and they work great.
okay. They're just lighter and they're easier. Lighter, making them easier to flow and big enough for readers to pick them up.
Right, and they absorb. I mean, this is why you get this very definitive kind of. I think my color blindness comes out sometimes. I think they look black, but I've been told they're blue green. They so that tells you how old I am. They are. It's very unique kind of. We'll call it green, gray green, as I'm supposed to,
But I'm
but it is
colorblind also.
black.
I understand where you're coming from.
And it looks great on the white nitrocellulose. So I mean, you really see these. They really stand out, and this is why. And we use COVID as an example of this. We've done a lot of side-by-side testing for, whether it was BD or Abbott or any of these co companies with OTC tests. We side-by-side the tests that we developed with our customers with our nanoshells against these, and it's not even close. So there's definitely an advantage across the board for whether it's infectious disease and COVID or something else. If you want visual colorimetric detection, you should talk to us and we can help you.
Great. And now, quality standards for lateral flow tests, especially for COVID, the bar has been raised several times by medical product agencies, health product agencies. So, can you help medical device manufacturers achieve the specificity, sensitivity, and limit of detection that is now required for approval in Europe, UK? I'm not sure about the US if they've changed much, but
No, the bar is still pretty high here in the US too. And the answer is absolutely. I mean, like I said, we've done this about six times now, going through regulatory bodies, whether that was Health Canada, the FDA, whether it was in Australia or Europe, Brazil. We know what is required, and we know how to design these products to get you through that efficiently and quickly. And that's where we help. I mean, this isn't, we don't put our services in a box like, oh, we just developed a strip. No, we will help you write those EUAs. We'll help you and hold your hand through those conversations. I don't think a week goes by where I don't have some conversation with the FDA reviewer or a regulatory body. I mean, this is my job. I help my customers. This company helps our customers. And so we do this, and one of the reasons why we do this so effectively is the quality at which we design and develop products and manufacture products. I don't need to develop it to manufacture it well. And we have a very high standard with our ISO 13485 certified quality management system. We just finished an audit. Our yearly audit was 2 weeks ago. It went great. So this is both for development and manufacturing of medical devices. So we have the quality and the experience to help.
Okay. Now, the term, I'm sure you'll agree, lateral flow or rapid test has been dragged through the mud in the last 18 months since the start of the pandemic, and this was due to unsatisfactory diagnostic accuracy. Can you tell me, in your opinion, what was the main reasons these kits performed so badly in real-world settings?
Yeah, I mean that's been a hot topic for a while. And from someone who's very close to all of the, who knows all these companies and the people who develop these tests and all the recalls that I'm seeing, it is not unexpected. So let me start with that. But there's a reason why it's not unexpected. And really, the companies are getting recalled. These issues that we've seen with these tests and the efficacy, really on the sensitivity and specificity that we talked about. It's because the first test that got out there were used really two things. They were using subpar material because there just wasn't a lot of antibodies and good affinity reagents that were developed very early on. And the first gen products were just not very good. They did the job initially, but really once we started learning how to validate what we had to look for, you quickly saw the problems with it. And this was kind of the root of the problem. And the FDA and these regulatory bodies are finally learning how to accurately how to truly review and approve tests. Initially, all they needed to do was get something out there because it provided a benefit to the people to have something, right? We needed something early on. That something wasn't particularly great. And we learned that later. But now the standards have changed. Now you can't just be something. You have to be great. And not only do you have to be great, but you actually have to, be able to, and this is something I get from the FDA a lot, it has to provide a substantial benefit in terms of say manufacturing scale. They don't want a test that you can only manufacture 1,000 of. They want a test that you can manufacture 1 million of a month. And not only that, now they want, it used to be, 80% sensitivity specificity. Now it goes through redundant independent validations. Those numbers have to be above 90%, or they just put it in a pile with all the other ones. There's a substantial difference now on how the reviews are getting done. And 'cause, but earlier on, there was no standards. Now there is.
I think also part of the problem was that I think some of the pilot projects where they tested how good these lateral flow tests were, those pilot projects weren't managed properly, where they were testing someone once and expecting, and then, negative results, and then that was it. That was the how the project was done. And I think now everyone's starting to realize that if you use a lateral flow test on someone every 2 days, that's just almost as accurate as your PCR test. So,
Right.
and I think that's why they got a bad rap, I think.
Absolutely. This design of the studies was very poor early on, mainly because, they didn't know how to design them. Now there's very strict rules for OTC and POC clinicals. I mean, we've done it enough times now that I can probably regurgitate all the requirements here, but I will save you and the audience that pleasure.
I'm sure if you're available through email and phone if anyone wants to hear it.
Of course. I think all my information's on the website
Good.
For nanocomposites, but I mean I love talking about this stuff. This is I have a passion for assay development and what we do. It's just a lot of fun to bring people's ideas and products to markets, and I've been doing
Absolutely.
this now for 17 years, and I'm pretty darn good at it.
Very good. And so in the early days of the pandemic, test kit manufacturers couldn't fulfill orders. And so there was orders sitting on desktops and just and weren't being completed. And this was due to shortages in supplies, materials and reagents that are used in SARS-CoV-2 tests. Can you tell me what are nanocomposites manufacturing capabilities and how robust is your supply chain if a similar strain on this supply chain happens again?
Yeah, that is, of particular importance when, as I mentioned before, scale of manufacturing is almost a requirement for COVID. Maybe not so much for other tests, but for COVID, it definitely is when you talk to these regulatory bodies. And you don't have manufacturing without supply chain control. You know, early on, you alluded to the issues that they saw with manufacturing and getting raw materials. And that was just a byproduct of the systems that were in place at the time. And, you know, there was this crazy influx of material needs and simple things, paper, swabs, tubes. Now, these companies had the capacity to manufacture these, and now they're actually doing it at scale and meeting the needs. Earlier on, though, none of the systems for any of these companies were designed for that kind of production. Thus, you had that big, you know, lead times. Nowadays, it's not nearly as grievous as it was back then. It's not, I get everything I want in a week, but you plan ahead. I mean, this is where our material management and manufacturing team really comes in to help with that. We set up these supply agreements for our customer. We develop manufacturing plans to account for these lead times to ensure that we have everything we need ready for our customers. So, you know, that's kind of where it's at now is with proper planning, we have the capacity to do all the manufacturing at scale. Like I said, up to 25 million here at Nano Composites. We can do that. And we do that with organization, management, and really proper planning.
Is it 25 million per year, I assume?
Per
Per
month.
month, just to be clear on that. Okay.
Automation is a wonderful thing, my friend.
Now, viruses mutate by their very nature. The latest Omicron variant, which is spreading already in our communities, and medical device companies need to ensure their kits are variant proof. Is this part of your development program?
Absolutely. Our job is to keep up with all of that. Is the second we find out about a new variant or a new cross-reactive species or interferon that the FDA is re requiring for testing, we're on top of it. We do this all the time. So we have a BSL-2 on site to work with infectious diseases. We don't grow them, so we don't have a BSL-3, but we can test them in our BSL-2. And what we did is create partnerships with companies that do grow and culture the virus, and then we work with them to secure these new strains immediately. They inactivate them and send it to us so we can do our TCID 50 measurements and LOD measurements with the new virus. So we have that system built in and ready to go.
Okay, saliva-based tests for SARS-CoV-2 are in high demand because they can be self-administered because and they're in high demand because of their non-invasive and user-friendly design. Do you have any experience in developing a saliva-based test?
Absolutely. Now you're talking to one of our sweet spots. So being a nanoparticle manufacturer and having that really novel nanoshells and having the most sensitive colorimetric particles, it was a natural transition into being a big player in the saliva diagnostic space. Because if you're doing saliva and you're choosing a very non-invasive matrix, it's usually because you want it to be simple and at home test. And if you're going to do that, you want to avoid costly things like readers. Thus, you're going to move away from fluorescence and into colorimetric readouts. So we've done quite a few saliva-based tests over the years. And this is not that we just developed the strip. And not that we just work on, you know, normalizing the matrix, which is anyone working with saliva knows is not the easiest thing to do in the world, both with viscosity and pH and all those fun constituents in there that make it a difficult matrix. We help with all that strip design, but we also help with the engineering of that cassette. We help with the selection of, you know, whether it's swabs, or tubes or these consumable portions. We'll help build that system with you, with the strip and provide that experience to do it. And it is, I mean, honestly, I mean, the writing's on the wall in terms of empowering people to do, you know, surveillance, monitoring, tracking of their health independently. I mean, where the insurance companies see the benefit of empowering people to do testing, preventative medicine, as they call it, and being able to take tests home, as in OTC, it is going to really help people and keep people healthy. And saliva would be a great way to do it. We don't want people having to, take blood draws at home if we can avoid it. So if we can, and this is, nanocomposite stance, we want to help you get your test, saliva test, to market in that space.
Sure. And even the lower nasopharyngeal swabs aren't too bad to use. Not
The
as,
lower ones, yeah, you
yeah.
don't want those brain ticklers.
No, for sure. Now the rapid lateral flow tests have been on the market, as you said before, for in many industries, agricultural, veterinary, and stuff like that. But in the medical device field, for our HIV, there's lateral flow tests on the market that can detect HIV antibodies in 60 seconds. Can this be achieved with SARS-CoV-2 antigen tests? And if so, how? Why isn't it being done already?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting way to put in a good example. And I mean, really is something like HIV, we've been developing rapid diagnostics for 40 years. And we've had the time to really develop novel solutions to that very question you brought up. How can I get a high sensitivity, very rapid test? And it took time to get there. It took time to develop those affinity reagents and that platform to do it. We've really only been working on COVID now for, 2-ish years. And in time, I think it's going to go there. And it will almost assuredly have to go there. And we want to help customers get there. Those are the interesting projects. If we have those custom affinity reagents, and I love working with antibody companies that are developing these and helping them get a platform out there, I think it will happen. It hasn't happened yet, and the reason why, it's just time to develop that material and time to develop that platform. But it will happen, and I think that's going to be a very commercially viable test when it's ready.
Okay, can you give our listeners some peace of mind who may want to get in touch with you to develop a lateral flow test by telling us what ISO standards your manufacturing site and products are certified to?
Yeah, of course. And it's one thing to develop an assay. It's one thing to develop an assay, correctly, as in with all the right design controls to ensure that the safety and reproducibility of the test is there. And that's why Nanocomposites is proud to be an ISO 13485 certified company for both manufacturing and development of medical devices. It provides us the guidelines of developing assays to make them truly what we're claiming they are. And so rest assured, that we do things not only fast, but we do it right.
Great. Do you have any final words of wisdom for any company looking to get their test to market?
Oh man, how much time do I have? I mean, there's definitely a lot of advice.
Okay. Do
I
you have
mean,
any
on.
do you have a brief words of wisdom?
I would say it's never as straightforward as you might think at the start. And what you need to do is talk to the experts in the different spaces and really understand that landscape first and create up a good plan. The success of a product is I wouldn't say 100% dependent on it, but there's a correlation between success and proper planning. And that's where we help. And I could definitely Nanocomposites and myself can help with that planning. And once you have a good plan, once you have that strategy, and not just, hey, I want this assay to detect this marker at this sensitivity, go beyond that and think about things from the finish line back to the start of the race. And that's really where I come in. I don't think about problem. I have an excellent development team who thinks about the micro and making that assay meet the specifications it needs. My job is to think about the macro on why are those specifications they what are they are. What is the intended use population? How is this test fare against its competitors? What do we need to do to get there? And I develop the plan from the finish line backwards, and I have the best scientists and chemists in the world working it on from the other end on looking at the micro.
Great.
So that would be my advice.
Thank you very much, Andre, for coming on today. You're obviously the
Of course, this was a pleasure.
you're obviously the go-to guy for lateral flow test, and so don't expect much sleep for a while, as I imagine you're going to be quite busy, if not already.
Oh, sleep is just a dream these days, Paul. I have a 3-month-old, so it is all just, I forgot what sleep was. Is can't even say it straight with how tired I am.
These lateral flow assays are an important weapon in our arsenal against COVID-19 and are now part of our daily lives and might be for some time to come. And thank you to listener for making the time.